There are two readings today. The first reading is taken from Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to chapter 6, verse 5. You can follow along on the screen, or if you prefer to read from the Bibles, it's page 219. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with a priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." The second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7 to chapter 13, 1a. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole earth astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short.' When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time and a half, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, so much to think about and so little time to think about it. So we pray that your spirit will now inspire what you have given to me and what we hear, that we may go from this place more confident than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. I happen to know that here at St. James's you're a pretty bright lot, so I've got a question for you. 14th of October, what? Yes, Caroline. I knew there was going to be one clever clogs. My next clue was going to be the most famous date in history. They think it's all over, it is now. The Battle of Hastings. Viv and I, after we moved from here, went down to a parish in St. Leonard's, which is really Hastings in disguise. It's the posh bit of Hastings, or so we're told. And Battle itself is about a couple of miles away from where we lived. And in Battle, there is a great field called Senlac Field. And a lot of the locals say that it shouldn't have been called the Battle of Hastings, it should have been called the Battle of Senlac. Because that, at the back of the abbey that William the Conqueror built, that great field is the place where the Battle of Hastings took place 950 years and 2 days ago today. I wonder if any of us will be here to celebrate the 1,000th. I doubt very much that I shall. Viv and I took some of our grandchildren to see the reenactment at least once on the Senlac Field. And there you have the encampment of the Anglo-Saxons and the encampment of the Normans. And at the set time, I don't know why they had a narrator on the day itself, but we had a narrator that told us what was going on. And then the reenactment happened. My goodness, what a battle. Swords and arrows and spears and fists and horses, helmets and armor and people, blood the lot. And at one point, William's Normans were just about to take the battle when William was unseated from his horse. And what happened then was that the Normans flew into a bit of disarray. They couldn't see their commander anymore, and there's a bit of a panic going on. And the Anglo-Saxons, seeing that he'd gone, he's dead, they were in, and wallop, right up the middle. And of course, then up gets William, who gets back on the horse, and without his helmet, so that he can be recognized, he grabs one of his banners and he rides all the way round the battlefield. And his soldiers are reheartened, and in they go, and they win. Because in that moment, when the Anglo-Saxons surged forward, it left the opportunity for the Normans to go behind and encircle them. No way out. How different history would be if it were not for the Battle of Hastings. Now, if you're thinking along the lines that I am, you might be a little bit ahead of me, but I'm going to try and remember to come back to this story a bit later on. I want to talk this morning for a little while about what God, through the Bible, says about life as a battle. Life is great, but my goodness, isn't it a battle? I want to talk to you about, first of all, the battle with Satan. I was talking to someone the other day about a situation in a church, and I said, well, let me just say to you that every church, Satan will do his best to get into the middle of it and put divisions in and squash and destroy that church if he can. And this person said to me, I'm sorry, but my theology is different to yours. I don't believe in Satan. That's tantamount to calling Jesus a liar. Because Jesus constantly warns us about Satan. And he doesn't warn us about something going on inside, you know, your black side, your dark side. He doesn't warn us about good part of your brain and a bad part of your... He warns us about Satan. If you don't believe in Satan, that's fine, but please will you accept that I do. Satan means adversary, the enemy, the foe. He's the accuser. You've just heard read. He's constantly accusing God's people before the throne of God himself. Have you seen what Jeff's been up to? Have you seen what so-and-so's been up to? He's the accuser. He's the one who wants to destroy, not us. He's not after you. He's not after me. He wants to destroy the kingdom of God. That's why he got thrown out of heaven, because he thought he could take over the throne from God. And we've just heard about the battle with Michael and the angels, how he got kicked out of heaven and landed here on the earth. And that is why he is here and active in trying to destroy God's kingdom. He's not after destroying St. James's. He's not after destroying you. He's after destroying bigger things than that, the kingdom of God. He's the father of lies. Now, a lie is not necessarily saying black is white. A lie is something that is not completely truthful. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And Satan says to Eve, has God said you mustn't eat any of the fruit in the garden here? Exaggeration. No, 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 says Eve. No, 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 we can eat all the fruit, but not the fruit of that tree. God says if we eat that tree, we'll die. No, 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 no. No, 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 says Satan. You won't die. God knows that if you eat of that fruit, you'll be free of that tree, you'll be like him. Wait a minute, hang on. Let me take you back to chapter 2 for a minute. Then God said, let us create people in our own image. So he created man and woman in his exact image, in his likeness. Chapter 2, we are created in the image of the invisible God. Fact, truth, honesty. Satan, if you want to be like God, do something. Eat the fruit. And I want to tell you that the battle with Satan is already won. Because Jesus has done all that is necessary to secure God's kingdom. Jesus is now seated on the throne in heaven, which cannot be shaken. All the dreadful things that are going on this lovely planet that God put here cannot be shaken at God's throne itself. We'll be shaken, but God can't be. Did you know that Satan is also known as Lucifer? Lucifer means light. John chapter 1. The light, the true light, the Word, Jesus, the light, the true light, was coming into the world. Why does John put in the true light? Because he knows that Satan is the false light. He's the liar, the untruthful one, the murderer, the destroyer. And Jesus, on the other hand, is the true light that illuminates the world. I find quite often a sort of inner sense that says, Jeff, if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't think that way. You wouldn't say that sort of thing. You'd be a lot more loving. You'd be a lot more caring. You'd be much more like Jesus. You heard that little voice inside? You're not good enough. I know I'm not good enough. You know you're not good enough. But in Christ, I am good enough. Without him, I'm nothing. In him, I am good enough. Because he has taken my sin and put it into the deepest sea where it can't be got to. And he's given me his righteousness. So I stand secure in him against Satan. So when you're battling against Satan, just remember that the chief temptation of Satan is, if you're really a Christian, you read your Bible more, you'll pray more, you go and help look after the vicarage. You go and talk to Trevor. Yeah, you're going to do all of those things, not because you have to, but because of gratitude to Almighty God and Jesus, who has given you freedom to do those things. And as an act of thanksgiving, you're not going and saying, oh, I'll go and help because if I don't, God won't like me. You're saying, I'll go and help because God does like me. He loves me. Look, secondly, I did say to Alistair that you're all free till Tuesday, aren't you? I said I'd look secondly at battle with yourself. I've already suggested that I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. How do I know that? Because there's no one on earth that is good enough other than Jesus. We're not good enough. But that battle goes on. Who are you? Let me ask you something. When you look in the mirror to do your makeup or have a shave, what do you think?
Ugh.
I'm inclined to think, who's the old boy looking back at me? Because inside I'm only 35. Do you go, ugh, I don't remember that wrinkle before? Can I encourage you, next time you put your makeup on, or have a shave, or whatever reason you look in the mirror, can I ask you to look very carefully and say, wow! Because what you are looking at is a reflection of somebody who is created in the very image of God, and who is saved by Jesus, and who contains the very life of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Can you see why you need to say wow when you look in the mirror? Look at each other. Wow! Whoever you are, never always wow. God blesses Adam and Eve with life when they leave the garden because of their disobedience. He gives them life. He also gives them the gift of death. My brother died just a few weeks ago, and I did his funeral just over a fortnight ago. And it brings me face to face with my own humanity and mortality. The aches and pains that I normally shrug off, suddenly, what are they? Death is actually a gift. It's a gift because if it didn't come to us, we would perpetuate sin in us. When I die, I will not be capable of sin anymore. Hallelujah. I will be free from the shackles of aging, which is caused by sin. Death and life are God's gift to us. So when you look in the mirror, let's have a little wow, shall we? I want to deal just for a minute or two with the battle against sin. Battle with sin. Now, I'd like you to be, this is a rhetoric question. I don't want any hands up or answers, please. Can you think of a sin in your life that you really would like to get rid of? You know, the sort of sin that you say, right, it's a bit like January the 1st. I'm going to overcome that sin. I'm never, ever going to do it again. And by the 3rd, you've done it again. You know that feeling? I do. Think back across your life. Is there something in your life where you think to yourself, you know, much as I'd like to believe that I'm forgiven, I can't forgive myself for that. How can God possibly forgive me? Just think about that for a minute or two. Paul in Romans, I do like Paul's writings. In Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 17, he says this. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. Verses 19 and 20. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. There's the problem. You and I have sin living in us. So the good that we want to do, those New Year's resolutions, whatever day of the year you make them, you're going to fail, or you're pretty well bound to fail, because it's ingrained in you. It's a habit, and habits need a lot of treatment and care to be broken. There's the problem. Let me give you the solution. Still chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one way, and only one, to be cleansed from your sin, and that is by coming to the cross of Jesus and let him do the work. You can't make it better. Even if you didn't sin any more from today, you've still got the past. Only Jesus can make you clean. The battle with sin, we'll go on battling with it, won't we? Just back to Satan for a minute. Satan says, if you want to be like God, do something. And I'll say to you, yes, do something. Look at the cross. Don't try and work it out. Just look at the cross. Let God give to you the gift that he really has for you, freedom. So, the battle against Satan, self, sin. I hope I've stirred up some thoughts in you, because I wanted to end with on the victory side. Years ago, when I was 35 really, rather than 35 inside, we used to sing a chorus, on the victory side, on the victory side, I am on the victory side. And I want to talk about the victory side for just a minute or two. When Jesus was on the cross, in John's Gospel, John says he reached the end of his life. And he cried, no. He cried in a loud voice, said John, it is finished! And he died. The moment of triumph. And as Jesus cried, it is finished, Satan said, he is finished! And the disciples said, what do we do now? And Mary, his mother, said, that was my son. And Mary Magdalene, in floods of tears, said, I loved him so much. What happens next? And Satan, he is finished. He put it into all the minds. When we were in Oak Hill, before our training for ministry, Viv had a very, very serious breakdown. And I found it very hard to work. So I went and saw the principal. And the principal said, you do what you can. But he said, let me just remind you of something, Jeff. Satan is behind this. Because if Satan can stop you now, think of all the people that will never hear the gospel that you will preach in the future. And he said, just remember this. Satan was so busy celebrating that he'd killed Jesus that he forgot to hold him down. And Jesus rose from the dead. And the principal said, added one more thing to that. He said, Satan always overreaches himself and ends up bringing glory to God. Here we are, 41 years since we left college and I started my ordained ministry. How many sermons have I preached? How many did I preach here? Satan made us stronger because of going through that. Didn't seem like it at the time. But let's go back to the Battle of Hastings. William came off his horse. Everybody fell into confusion until he rose up onto his horse and gave them heart. The disciples, on the third day after saying, he's gone, what next? Met with the risen Lord Jesus and he gave them fresh heart. And for us, Sunday is our Sabbath. You know that Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday for the Christians? Because it's the day of resurrection. And for us, it's the day when we remember not just that Jesus rose from the dead, but he rose from the dead to destroy Satan. Yeah, he's still doing it. He's still working at it. And he will have the victory. He did it to save us from Satan, sin, and self, and to remind us that we're on the victory side. And that reading from Joshua, two sentences. The Battle of Jericho. They didn't raise a spear. They didn't raise an arrow. They didn't raise a sword. They weren't wearing armor. They were in their sandals. They had the priests carrying this box around with the angels on the top. And they walked round 7 times. 7 days, 6 days, once a day. And then on the seventh they went round. And the difference was this time they carried trumpets. The priests did. And when Joshua gave the command on the seventh time round, they blew the trumpets and everybody shouted and cheered and the walls came tumbling down. Where was the battle? Who fought that battle? God fought that battle, and our battle in life is God's battle and he's fighting it for us. Can I encourage you to go out from here? Looking at the world differently, looking at God differently, looking at you differently. And when you look in that mirror, what are you going to say? Wow! Wow! Because there you will see the most incredible person on the earth, and that is you in Jesus. And look for signs of Jesus in your face, in your eyes, in your life. And you'll see that transformation going on. Lord, thank you that we don't have to worry about the battle. Remind us later today when Satan comes round and tries to derail what's been said, to cling on to the cross, which is the victory sign. And remind us, Lord, that we are on the victory side.